जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुन कीरा वान चारी, यमुना तीरा वान चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोधानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोधानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुन तीरा भन चारी, यमुन तीरा भन चारी, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, हरे कृष्णा, गुड मॉर्निंग. We missed all of you last week. I hope you had a nice spring break. And we're back with a new chapter. We started chapter 9 about a week ago. And this is a very important chapter in the Bhagavatam. Some can say it's one of the most important, and it contains sort of a mini essence of the Bhagavatam in its own in this chapter. And there's also an exciting new story that I want to get into. So today we're reading from Canto 2. Chapter 9, text number 8. Divyam Sahasrabda Mamoga Darshano. Divyam Sahasrabda Mamoga Darshano. Jitani Latma Vichito Bayendriha. Jitani Latma Vijito Bayendriha. Atapyata Smakila Loka Tapanam. Atapyata Smakila Loka Tapanam. Tapas tapiyam tapatam samahita.
Tapas tapiyam
tapatam
samahita.
Divyam sahasrabda mamoga darshano. Chitani Latma Vichito Bayendriha.
Chitani Latma Vichito Bayendriha.
Atapyata Smakila Lokatapanam.
Atapyata Smakila Lokatapanam.
Tapas Tapiyam Stapatam Samahita.
Tapas Tapiyam Stapatam Samahita.
I'd like to request first the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the crowd who would like to chant this verse, followed by any of the adults.
Tapas tapiyam sapatam
sounds like a transcendental choir when y'all chant the verse. So pleasing. We'll do the word for word. Divyam. Pertaining to the demigods and the higher planets. Sahastra. 1,000. Abdam. Years. Amoga. Spotless. Without a tinge of impurity. Darshana. One who has such a vision of life. Jita. Controlled. Annala. Life. Atma. Mind. Vijita. Controlled over. Ubhaya. Both. Indriya. One who has such senses. Atapyata. Executed penance. Sma. In the past. Akila. All. Loka. Planet. Tapanam. Enlightening. Tapa. Penance. Tapian. Extremely hard penance. Tapatam. Of all the executors of penances. Samahitaha. Thus situated. Translation. Lord Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years by the calculations of the demigods. He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky, and he accepted it as divine. Thus he controlled his mind and senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus, he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. Purport. Lord Brahma heard the occult sound tapa, but he did not see the person who vibrated the sound. And still he accepted the instruction as beneficial for him, and therefore he engaged himself in meditation for 1,000 celestial years. One celestial year is equal to 6 times 30 times 12 times 1,000 of our years. Any math whizzes? When I do a calculation? I think I calculated this yesterday. That's like 2,116, something very, very outrageous. That's one celestial year. So then you multiply that by 1,000 of those, and you get how many years Lord Brahma did great. Oh, I got a hand here. We'll go something close to that, but I think it's a lot more. But you're on the right track. Anyway, so we don't get in the math quiz here. I'll keep going.
2,116,000.
Okay, there we go. 2,116,000 is 1 year, celestial year. Multiply that by 1,000. So Lord Brahma was meditating for a long, long, long time. His acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. And due to his correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and the Lord's instruction. There is no difference between the Lord and the sound vibration coming from him, even though he is not personally present. The best way of understanding is to accept such divine instruction. And Brahma, the prime spiritual master of everyone, is the living example of this process of receiving transcendental knowledge. The potency of transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is apparently absent. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any revealed scripture in the world is never to be accepted as an ordinary mundane sound without transcendental potency. One has to receive a transcendental sound from the right source, accept it as a reality, and prosecute the direction without hesitation. The secret of success is to receive the sound from the right source of a bona fide spiritual master. Mundane, manufactured sound has no potency, and as such, seemingly transcendental sound received from an unauthorized person also has no potency. One should be qualified enough to discern such transcendental potency, and either by discriminating or by fortunate chance, if one is able to receive the transcendental sound from the bona fide spiritual master, his path of liberation is guaranteed. The disciple, however, must be ready to execute the order of the bona fide spiritual master as Lord Brahma executed the instruction of his spiritual master, the Lord himself. Following the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the only duty of a disciple. And this completely faithful execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the secret of success. Lord Brahma controlled his two grades of senses by means of sense perception and sense organs, because he had to engage the senses in the execution of the order of the Lord. Therefore, controlling the senses means engaging them in the transcendental service of the Lord. The Lord's order descends into succession through the bona fide spiritual master, and thus execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is factual control of the senses. Such execution of penance in full faith and sincerity made Brahmaji so powerful that he became the creator of the universe. I'm going to repeat that sentence. Such execution of penance in full faith and sincerity made Brahmaji so powerful that he became the creator of the universe. And because he was able to attain such power, he is called the best among all the tapas. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Paranjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilakam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Krishtaya Vantilashana Tadakti Vedanta Swami Kiyanmi Namaste Saraswati Gurave Gaurabhani Kajanami Niyaji Se Shishun Mahadi Paschita Adyayin Shitadhi Vancha Kalka Pyudhishcha Kripa Sindhi Yevacha Vedita Nam Pavane Vya Vaishna Deva Namo Namaha. So, today, we have a new section, so to say. So you might be wondering, sort of what's going on in this verse. Why did Brahma undergo penances for thousands of years? Why such intense penances? What was the sound that he heard? So I'm going to backtrack a few verses. And this pastime is described in just almost a really short summary version, four or five verses. But it's so significant because we're sort of talking about the beginning here, you know, the first living entity, Brahma, the first disciple, Brahma, the origin of our sampradaya, Brahma, the first instruction, which was from Krishna to Brahma. So there's so much first that's happening here, and I think when something is done for the first time, in any context, it's important to note it, because there's so many lessons that can be there. So today, I want to just kind of theme the class as lessons from Lord Brahma, and simply just from this past time. There's so many things we can learn from Lord Brahma. But so what's happening is, in the last chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asked so many questions to Shukadeva Goswami. And Shukadeva Goswami begins by answering one or two of those questions, and then he goes on to narrate the story of Lord Brahma and his appearance, so to say. And in this chapter, we'll actually, towards the end of it, and hopefully one of these verses fall on a Worship Wednesday class, there is four shlokas that are known as these primary shlokas in the Bhagavatam, called Chatur Shloki. And there are four shlokas spoken to Brahma by the Supreme Lord himself. And they contain really the essence, the very, very essence. It's this very large, vast Bhagavatam in these four verses. In a sense, you could say it's like the original Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam spoken in the beginning from the Lord himself to Brahma. So what happened was that Brahma came, he appeared from the navel of Vishnu, from a lotus. So on a lotus, he appeared. And when he appeared, there was nothing, because Brahma was created as the creator. His service was to create. So when he came, there was nothing. He had not created yet. And so when Brahma came, he was perplexed. And I'll read this verse. It says here, Lord Brahma, the first spiritual master in the universe, could not trace out the source of his lotus seat. And while thinking of creating the material world, he cannot understand the proper direction for such creative work, nor could he find out the process for creation. So he didn't know what to do. While thus engaged in thinking, in the water, in the lotus stem, Brahmaji heard twice from nearby two syllables joined together. One of the syllables was taken from the 16th, and the other from the 21st of the Sparsha alphabet. So these syllables were ta and pa, tapa. It's all he heard. There you can imagine Lord Brahma, nothing, just appeared, doesn't know what's going on. He's on this lotus seat. Where did I come from? What's my purpose? How am I supposed to create? Completely confused, completely lost, and he hears two syllables, not even two words, two syllables, tapa. And from this, he's trying to search, where did the sound come from? Who said this? This sounds like a divine sound. What is the divine source of the sound? And he's searching, he's swimming through the lotus stem, he's trying to find who's here, is somebody here with me? And then, when he heard the sound, he tried to find the speaker, searching on all sides. But when he was unable to find anyone besides himself, he thought it was wise to sit down on his lotus seat firmly and give his attention to the execution of penance, which is what tapa means. So he thought, okay, I can't find the source of this. Let me accept it in sound form. Let me accept the supreme life. I know this is a divine voice, a divine calling. I cannot see the personality, but the sound is just as prominent. The sound is just as prominent as the vision. And therefore, I'll follow that instruction, and from there, everything will be revealed. So that's where we are in this verse. Lord Brahma went under those penances. He did tapa, he did tapasya for thousands of years. And as we go further in the chapter, we see that Krishna was very, very pleased. And he gave him full vision of the spiritual world. He gave him full empowerment to create. And it was only because of that tapasya, that following of the instructions of the Supreme Lord, that he was able to create the universe which we're all in today. So the first thing I want to talk about that I feel like is quite obvious that we can learn from this verse and Lord Brahma is the performance of tapasya, performance of austerity. And I think I can speak for myself that I often use the idea that we aren't tapasvis, our process isn't simply tapasya for the sake, austerity for the sake of austerity. It's our process of devotional service. And I use that often for myself as sort of an excuse. You know, oh, tapasya, we're not really doing tapasya. We're doing bhakti. I can take it easy. I can be complacent. But in Krishna consciousness, tapasya means something different. Tapasya means that it's directed towards a person. There is a goal for it. It's not for our own measure. It's not for our own sake, but it's for Krishna. And therefore, tapasya becomes devotional service. So, let's talk about a little bit about austerity. When you think of the word austerity, when you think of the word penance, the word tapasya, what comes to mind? How would you define it? Let's see what you have to say. Any answers? What comes to mind when you think of tapasya? What does that mean to you when you think of austerity? I got a hand here.
Fasting.
There's an example. Fasting is okay.
Sitting up straight for the whole Bhagavatam class.
Sitting up straight for the whole Bhagavatam class. Hold up. Okay, here we go. I'm sitting up straight. What does austerity mean to you? What do you think of when you think of austerity? Any other answers? Push up them. See your hand up. Wasn't up. Okay. What does austerity mean? What does austerity look like in Krishna consciousness? What are some ways we can practice austerity in Krishna consciousness? What comes to mind? Anything.
He's got
one. Ekadasi. 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 Okay, a lot in the fasting area. I was thinking about this for myself. And I was thinking, what would tapasya look like for me, not for Lord Brahma, not for someone in Sakya Yuga, for me in Kali Yuga 2023, what does tapasya in Krishna consciousness look like? And I thought, it can be very, very simple. Tapasya for me looks like not using my cell phone when I'm chanting japa. Tapasya for me looks like not eating so late so I can get up early. Tapasya for me, yeah, things just simple things like that. It means only eating Krishna prasadam, only eating food cooked by a devotee, offered to the Lord. These are simple ways which we engage in tapasya. And by performing austerity, the Lord was very pleased. It says that Krishna was very pleased with Brahma and he asked him for a benediction, in which Brahma asked many questions. And Krishna gave him full vision of the spiritual world. And I found this nice lecture by Srila Prabhupada where he talks about tapasya. Another verse that later in the Bhagavatam that speaks very highly of tapasya as the means to attain the supreme. So I want to read this to you. This is from Srila Prabhupada. So for God realization, formerly people used to undergo such severe type of penances. And at the present moment, we are so fallen, we cannot tolerate these four principles. It is very difficult. We're not opposing some tapasya that don't indulge in these things. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. These are the items of tapasya for advancing in Krishna consciousness. So is it very difficult? It is not very difficult. But if you want to realize God, as it is said here, tapasya, only by tapasya, only by penance one can realize. Otherwise not. Otherwise it is not possible. Therefore, this word is used, tapasya, only by tapasya. The preliminary is a little tapasya, just like Ekadasi, fasting. This is also an item of the tapasya. Actually, on the Ekadasi days, we should not take any food, even drink water. But in our society, we're not doing so much strictly. We say, Ekadasi, you don't have to take food grains. Take a little fruit, a little milk. This is tapasya. So we cannot execute this tapasya. If we are not prepared to undertake even this very easily executable tapasya, then how can we go home back to Godhead? No, it's not possible. And then I like this part so much. He says, by executing this tapasya, penances, are you a loser? It means, are you missing out? Are you losing out on something? Are you a loser? You are not a loser. Srila Prabhupada says, you are not a loser by executing tapasya. Now, anyone who comes from the outside, they will see in our society, our members, our boys and girls, they say bright face. Do they not? They see a distinction in us. People can notice that devotees are very effulgent by nature. One priest in plain cloth, I was going from Los Angeles to Hawaii. One priest, he came to me in the plane. So he asked my permission. Can I talk with you? Yes, why not? So his first question was that, I see your disciples, they're very bright-faced. How is it done? Srila Prabhupada said, by tapasya, by the simple austerity for Krishna, austerity for the pleasure of the Lord. You can see it in the face of devotees. It makes you not a loser, as Prabhupada said. It makes you the greatest winner. So where is the loss? Prabhupada ends by saying this. So again, it's tapasya with a purpose. And if you find, I notice this in my own life as well. Any little endeavor to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates many, many fold times back. You make a little endeavor, and that little endeavor is your little tapasya, your austerity, giving something that might be difficult for you, or something that you enjoy as difficult to give up. So let's use the fasting example. You know, why Ekadasi? Why are we every 2 weeks have to not eat grains in Ekadasi? But let's turn the question. What happens if we follow it with the idea of, okay, this is my intention to cut out something that's a little bit enjoyable that I'm used to for the pleasure of Krishna so I can focus a little more on him. When you do this, a little bit of austerity, the reciprocation is so, so much fold. You see that there's so much Krishna reciprocates in the way that you would not expect just by turning to him, making a little extra endeavor. So this is what tapasya is. And especially for us in Kali Yuga, when tapasya, we can't do 1,000 celestial years, even 1,000 minutes. But we can do a little extra endeavor. And we can see the reciprocation to Brahma with so much. He was able to get all the power to create the universe. He's the creator of the universe, but he had no potency to do so until he performed this austerity for Krishna. And Krishna was pleased. But austerity is not the only thing we hear in this verse. In this verse and the ones prior, there's so much of an emphasis on discipleship. And Lord Brahma was the first disciple in our sampradaya. He was the first disciple, period. He was the first created being. And he was the first to receive instructions from Krishna. And so we can see that only by accepting, not just that he did tapasya, he followed the orders of the spiritual master. He followed the orders of Krishna. And by following these orders, through the medium of sound, and so, actually, our whole process of Krishna consciousness is one that is of via sound. The Bhagavatam is a telling. It's originally through sound. We connect with the Supreme Lord through chanting, through sound. Krishna descends in this world in Kali Yuga as Nama Avatar, through sound, through his holy name. So through sound is non-different from the Supreme Lord himself. So it says here, one has to receive a transcendental sound from the right source. In this way, Brahma was so fortunate to hear it directly from Krishna. Accept it as reality and prosecute the direction without hesitation. The secret of success is to receive the sound from the right source of a bona fide spiritual master. And there was one point in an earlier verse that I like so much, and it was saying that when we follow this sound vibration, the instruction of a spiritual master, to chant the sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord, what is the effect? And it was saying that Lord Brahma, having taken shelter of the Lord and following his instruction, one who thus is initiated in the cyclic succession is able to achieve the same result or power of creation. So just as Lord Brahma was able to have this great benediction to achieve the most difficult task in humanity, the most difficult thing you can possibly imagine to do, creation, he was able to do it by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. But I was thinking about all of this, and there was one point that was just captured my mind the most out of everything that I studied in this for this class, was that Lord Brahma was, before he decided to sit down and meditate on the sound that he heard and accept this as the instruction of the spiritual master of Krishna, he was searching for Krishna. And he was searching physically. He was trying to use his own strengths, his own abilities, to find Krishna. And so it says he was in the water, in the stem of a lotus, and he was searching here and there. Where did the sound come from? Where did the sound come from? And this is very significant because you can try to search for Krishna by your own means. You can try to see Krishna, or you can try to act in such a way which Krishna sees you. And this is what Lord Brahma realized. And first he was trying to see Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is the sound coming from? Where is the Supreme Lord? But then once he came to realize that this is not the attitude to see the Supreme Lord. The attitude is that I follow the instructions. And then from there, I act in such a way to please the Lord, and then he'll give me his darshan. And there's a story I heard last year in Govardhan, at the Govardhan retreat. And the subject matter was about Rupa Goswami and his desire to see Krishna. And so we had this discussion about darshan, having the darshan of the Lord. And it was such a beautiful story. I've been waiting to find the right moment to share it in a Worship Wednesday class. When Lord Ram was banished to the forest and Ravana was around, and Lord Ram had went out in the forest and asked Mother Sita to stay back with Lakshman, and Lakshman had drew that circle known as Lakshman Rekha that protected Lord Sita as long as she stayed within that area. And so story has it that Ravana came dressed as a saintly person, and Lord Sita, out of her kindness and out of her duty, went outside of the circle to give some sort of dakshin or food preparation to the disguised Brahmana, who was Ravana. And in that moment, Ravana kidnapped Sita and took her back to Lanka. So during this journey, when he was going back to Lanka, and Lord Ram was distracted by the deer, and this whole scene was happening, she was crying and crying for help. And there was one servant of Lord Ram, a bird. Does anybody know his name? Jatayu! Jatayu was there. And Jatayu had seen Sita, seen this scene. And he was immediately became in protector mode. So when Jatayu saw Ravana, how he kidnapped Sita, and Sita wailing for help, he went to intercept, and he did. And this great battle happened in the air. Jatayu, the servant bird of Lord Ram, the bird warrior, was fighting with Ravana in the sky on a celestial airplane. Not celestial, but his airplane. And they were fighting and fighting and fighting, but at the end, Ravana was too powerful for Jatayu. And Ravana had cut the wings off of Jatayu. And in that way, Jatayu had fell to the ground. And there he was dying, though he held on to his consciousness and his life force with all of his might. And as this was happening, Lord Ram was searching for the lost Sita. And as he was searching, he came across Jatayu. And he saw and he goes, "Jatayu, oh Jatayu, is that you? What happened? Tell me what happened." And Jatayu barely opened his eyes. With a smile, at the end of his life, he got the darshan that he wanted of Lord Ram. And there he was holding the desired darshan of Lord Ram and just taking his glance. And Ram was shouting, "Jatayu, why didn't you find me? When you saw Ravana, when you saw him taking Sita and kidnapping them, why didn't you find me? Why didn't you come to me and say, 'There is Ravana heading in that direction. Ram, please go save Sita.' Why did you intercept yourself? I could have taken hold of a demon. I would have certainly defeated him. Why did you, who are not as strong as me, who are not so strong anymore, you are elderly, with no weapons except your claws, why did you take the demon on? You must have known what would have been the consequence." I mean, problem solved. You ask Ram, Ram comes, kills Ravana, saves Sita, there's the end of the story. Jatayu said, "My dear Lord, you have come, so let me answer your question. If I would have gone searching for you, the world would have understood that one should find God and let him do everything. If I would have went searching for you instead of trying to fight myself, the world would have understood, yes, you go, you find God, you let him take care of everything. But no, I didn't choose this route. I chose another route. I was thinking, if I serve you, if I serve you, if I try to serve your purpose, then the world will know that serving you is even higher than searching for you. If I serve you, Lord Ram, if I don't go and try to find you, but I try to do my service, fulfill your mission, fulfill your instruction, then the world will know that serving you is even higher than searching for you." Srila Prabhupada says, if you want something from the Supreme Lord, that should only be begging for his service. So this is the same lesson that Brahma had learned when he was searching. Where did this sound come from? Tapa, tapa, where did it come from? He was searching, but what would the searching do? It wouldn't lead him anywhere, because the sound, there was no personality visible to the sound. But when he accepted the sound vibration, its transcendental sound vibration, and then acted upon that instruction, he served the sound vibration, he served the instruction, which is a sound vibration. Then by doing that, Krishna was pleased. Then he had darshan of Krishna. Then he had darshan of the whole universe, of the whole spiritual world. And then he could create the universe. So many things happen by the service of the sound vibration. So this is the key. This is the key to success that's said so many times here in all these purports. Prabhupada keeps using this word, the secret of success, the secret of the success. It's completely faithful execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master. The order of the bona fide spiritual master is sound vibration. And the order generally in this day and age, given by Srila Prabhupada, given by Acharyas, is chanting of the holy name. That's the order. It's all in sound vibration. When we accept that, we can learn from Jatayu that this is greater than searching for God, is serving God. And serving this instruction. But you want to know what happened to Jatayu after that? This is also very significant. Lord Ram personally did the funeral rites for Jatayu in his own arms. And it said, and this is not speaking to speaking of Dashrath at all, but actually Lord Ram did not do the own funeral rites of his own father with his own hands. For some reason or another, but for the reason of Jatayu, for the significance that he was such a dear servant of Lord Ram, that he did his own funeral rites with his own hands. And he got the darshan of the Lord, the desired darshan, that Lord Brahma was after, but purely because of his service to the Lord, not for the searching. So that's the point I want to end this class with, is that keep the mood of trying to please the Supreme Lord, trying to serve the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas, and in this mood of service, in this mood of, I'm here to please Krishna, I'm here to try to offer a little extra austerity for him, a little extra endeavor, something that's difficult to me, let me offer it to him. And in doing so, you will get revelation, you will get reciprocation, you may even get darshan of Krishna. And this is the whole process. It's not a process of trying to find God with our own eyes or our own merit, but surrendering through the process of surrendering to the sound vibration. And by doing so, then we're really following Lord Brahma's footsteps. We're really following in disciplic succession. He set the tone. He set the standard. This is how it's done. This is why it's so important. The first disciple in our disciplic succession, the first living entity, the first instruction from the Lord. Let's see how that's done and learn from that, and we can find the same result that Lord Brahma did. He says here, Srila Prabhupada says right here, that one who's initiated into the disciplic succession is able to achieve the same result or power of creation, the same result that Lord Brahma received, the same darshan of Krishna. It's all possible through the service of the instruction. So I would like to end there and recap a little bit. We spoke of Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma's pastime of appearance is that he appeared and there was only a sound vibration of tapa, meaning penance. He searched, but when he finally accepted this as the instruction from the Supreme Lord and served that instruction and followed it, after many years, Krishna was pleased with this endeavor and he gave his instruction. And from there we can learn about austerity. We can learn how applying a little extra austerity into our life for the purpose of serving the Lord is very pleasing to him. We can understand the importance of serving the instruction and sound vibration. And by serving these instructions, how Krishna can reveal himself to us. And we also learn that it's not about searching for Krishna, it's about serving Krishna. So I'll end there, and I'll open it up for any questions, comments, or reflections.
Hare Krishna, Mal Govinda. I wanted to speak about your first point about tapasya in our lives, and the students were like, yay, Ekadashi, all these things. But actually, I was thinking that tapasya can be very small things. Like, when you're going to school, like, we try to have an offering for our deities every morning, and some students bring one and some students don't. Mm-hmm. So every student gets out of the car at the front, but some kids pick one of the roses and bring it, and others just walk right by. So to me, it's those micro moments where we remember Krishna, where when we see something beautiful in nature, we remember that, you know, we're grateful to Krishna. When we could go anywhere at any time, but we end up at the temple, mm-hmm. that's like we had to go out of our way to remember Krishna, to serve Krishna. Yeah. So to me, it's not like having the courage to wear tilak out in public when you're a teenager. Someone might ask you about it. Mm-hmm. That might be an austerity for you to have the courage to do that. So tapasya can be just those moments where we choose Krishna over the regular grind of our lives.
Thank you. What a wonderful point. Those micro actions that are, you know, doing something out of our comfort zone for the pleasure of Krishna. Thank you. I appreciate that. Mother Gatnika.
Another example I just witnessed this morning was one of the young girls who left from this class here. She particularly, instead of just going with the flow, exiting the door to the door, she turned around and offered her pranams to the deities. And then I saw her deliberately give her attention to Srila Prabhupada and offer obeisances before she left.
Yeah. Beautiful.
How sweet. Also, in line with the mood of the story of Lord Ram and Jatayu, Prabhupada had said, don't try to see God, but act in such a way where God will want to see you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, when we just break the general cycle of our, you know, we work with in habits. Everything we do is in habits. And the habits that we have are there because we're under the modes of material nature. So we may have habits in the mode of goodness, in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion. And we're affected by these modes at all time, and they create what we do on a day-to-day basis. But when we try to break out of those habits, it actually means we're making an effort to Krishna to break out of the goodness, out of the motives of passion, ignorance and goodness, and we're trying to come to a transcendental platform where we can connect with Krishna. It's showing Krishna, I'm breaking out of my habits, I'm breaking out of the modes of material nature, I'm trying to escape that so I can turn to you. So we break out of these habits, and we pick a little rose to the deities. Instead of the habit of just walking out the door, we think, no, I'm not going to be affected by the mode of passion or ignorance, goodness even, I'm just going to focus on Krishna for one moment and give my attention to him. That's a transcendental connection there. And then so much reciprocation, it comes from that. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. Gantra Ashram Bhagavatam Puja. Shri Prabhupada.